We started recording everyone. Okay, councillors, I'll open our special council meeting. So welcome, thanks for being here, staff and community members. So as always, I'd just like to acknowledge that the town was founded on the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people, and to take a moment to recognise what a privilege it is for us to live on this land, and particularly those of us in the room tonight who have the privilege of making decisions about the future of this community. So the purpose of tonight's meeting is to consider the implementation of differential rates and adoption of the 2021-22 annual budget. I don't have any announcements this evening. We have everyone in attendance except for Councillor William, who is on an approved leave of absence, so she's an apology for this evening. Are there any declarations of interest from councillors? Great. So moving on to item 5, which is deputation. So we have Mr. Gia with us this evening, who would like to speak on the report at 8.1, which is differential rates. So welcome, Mr. Gia. So as you might know, you've got up to 10 minutes to present to council, and then councillors might wish to ask you questions. So welcome.
Wonderful. Good evening, Mayor McClellan, councillors and members of the administration. I'd like to firstly thank you all for the opportunity to address you this evening on the proposal to introduce differential rates to the town of Bassendean. Now, when compared with much of the world, I think we can all acknowledge how lucky Western Australia has been to weather the past 18 months, again, speaking relatively, incredibly well. I believe one key factor we can all agree on behind this success has been the way that governments of all levels, institutions and individual Western Australians have all come together in cooperation to keep our communities safe. Despite this success, however, I think it must be acknowledged that the impact of COVID-19 has not been spread evenly amongst the community. Now, while some industries or many industries and businesses in Western Australia are flourishing in the current environment, there are still many, such as those in education, tourism and entertainment, that are still reeling from the impact of COVID-19. And I think as the situation in New South Wales, where there was over 200 cases today, which has seeded outbreaks in Victoria and South Australia as well, we must face the likelihood that we in Western Australia may still be back in the dark days of lockdowns and the inevitable spike in unemployment and economic pain that comes along with it. And even without any further lockdowns, many Western Australians' incomes are well below that of which they were before the pandemic. I know this because I am one such Western Australian. Prior to the pandemic, I was employed in a good full-time job at a major public Western Australian university. Unfortunately, the university sector, as we all know, has been absolutely decimated by COVID, seeing its revenues absolutely plummet without access to international students, which has come with inevitable job losses. I've not been able to secure full-time employment since this, and with international students unlikely to return to Australian universities anytime soon, I fear, or I'm not confident, that this will change, my circumstances will change in the short term. I believe this is something that must be kept front and centre when we are making policies that could place further financial strain on people who have already suffered a significant reduction in income as a result of the pandemic. I put it to you that the differential rates proposal is just such a policy. Now, the stated goal of the differential rates policy is to encourage development, which I think we can all agree. There's a rental crisis. Development is generally, when done well, a good thing. However, I think we must acknowledge that we are in the middle of it. In the middle of a major skills shortage in the residential construction industry in Western Australia. On January 21 this year, the ABC Online ran a story headline, "Bricklayer Shortage Could Blow Out Timelines for Housing." On March 22, the new online news website WA Today, in an online story, quoted Jason Cherry, owner of West Coast Brick and Stone, who specialise in residential construction, saying, and I quote, "At the minute, we are in such high demand, our rates are going up hugely, and I'm saying no more than I ever have in my life." Then on April 19, on the same news site, WA Today, there was another report which stated, and I quote, "Soon-to-be homeowners are being slugged as much as $100,000 in unexpected costs after signing building contracts, as Western Australia's construction industry scrambles to cope with the trade and supply shortages. Now, I'll email through those articles so you can have a check of them yourselves, and there's quite a bit of information about the struggle that Western Australians are facing right at the moment trying to find people to build new homes. These articles clearly show, in my opinion, that if the proposed differential rates, the proposed differential rates have the desired effects of encouraging some people to develop their land, they face not only the prospect of not being able to find anyone to build a house potentially for years, but even if they do, they could be paying up to $100,000 more to build that house than they otherwise would have if they could have waited for the current skills shortage to subside. Now, my father's property at 67 Wilson Street was the site of the house in which I have my earliest memories. The house my parents were living in when I was born was actually just down the road on Wilson Street, but it's the property at 67 Wilson Street is where my earliest memories were formed. I've lived in a range of suburbs around Perth since, from up in the hills to down in Fremantle to North Perth, but I've always maintained a strong love and appreciation for everything that the town of Bassendean has to offer. In fact, my father and I have often talked about the possibility of my partner and I building a house on that land as we are currently renting. Unfortunately, as I alluded to earlier, as a result of the COVID pandemic, I'm not in a financial position to make this a reality at the moment. So I would put it to you that if anything, the imposition of differential rates at this time of uncertainty and massive residential skills shortages will actually reduce the likelihood that we're able to develop the lot. I do not believe that this is an outcome the council is hoping to achieve. As I said at the start, Western Australia has weathered the past 18 months by coming together and sharing the burden and the pain that has come with the COVID-19 global pandemic. I would urge you to take the same approach to your decision regarding differential rates and develop a more equitable system that doesn't unduly burden members of the community who are still recovering from what must be described as the biggest disruption to the global economy in living memory. I would like to thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you on this topic, and as I said, I'll email through some of those news articles and references that I referred to, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions? Councillor Hamilton?
Can I ask, you say that you have early memories of living in that place, so obviously there was a residential
There
house.
Was, yes.
Okay. And when was that demolished?
Three
years ago, I want to say, but I could be wrong. Sorry, Dad.
3 years ago. Okay. The council would have that when I applied for the permit.
Okay. Clearly, one of the reasons council is looking to try and get properties developed is because of the rental crisis.
Absolutely.
And there's certainly a significant one here. So the property's been vacant for 3 years, which means that it would have been on the lowest rating for vacant land, correct? It would have been a lower rate for vacant land than what enhanced properties with the houses have. You would have had a lower rate.
I'm not sure what the rates are on neighbouring properties with houses. I know what the rates is for that property, but yeah, I haven't necessarily compared it to other developed properties.
Might be a question I'll ask the officer when we move on to the item.
Any further questions, councillors? Thank you
Excellent.
For your time.
Again, thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, so item six is statements. So unless Mr. Giora's father wishes to make a statement, I assume we'll go on to questions. No questions? All right, so we'll move on to item eight, which is our report. So we've got two reports on tonight's agenda. The first is consideration of the implementation of differential rates, and the second being the adoption of the budget. So Mr. White will speak to this in just a moment, but just so that it's clear for everybody, the first item is for Council to consider the submissions and to make a decision around whether or not we wish to adopt differential rates. We do not have to make a decision around the actual rate in the dollar as part of this item. Mr. White, do you have anything to speak to on this item?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. So, as the purpose of this report, the Council to consider the submissions received in response to the advertising of proposed differential rates for 21-22. following council's resolution in April to advertise the differential rates, the town placed the necessary public notices and made the objects and reasons publicly available. The town also wrote to all owners of vacant land in addition to that. The town received 21 submissions, and these have been reproduced in full in the attachment. The identifying content will do. Some themes from the submissions have been presented in the report to council with some office comments. As the Mayor alluded to, it's important to note that council must adopt the actual differential rates as part of the annual budget. So prior to that, council needs to consider differential rates at a more conceptual level. And council needs to decide, having seen the submissions and heard the deputation tonight, if it wishes to implement differential rates for 2021-22. Now, if council does wish to implement differential rates, it's suggested that council adopts the officer recommendation with the discussion as the actual rates in the dollar to be imposed to occur as part of the adoption of the budget.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. White? Yes, Councillor Clinton?
At our last workshop, we came up with point four of the officer recommendation, which was a policy for landowners to submit an application for concession of the additional rates paid due to the imposition of differential rates. How soon, if we adopted this tonight, how soon would that concession kick in? Or what would be the time frame in terms of that, those concessions to be considered?
Thank you, through the Madam Mayor. The administration will develop a policy and bring that back to council. I don't think that would happen for the August council meeting, so it's likely to be to a new council after the election. The rates notices, regardless of what happens, if differential rates are introduced, rates notices will issue as normal, and they will include the differential rates, and owners of vacant land will be asked to pay in response to the rates notices, either in full by the due date or via the two or four instalment system. That would happen regardless of whether the policy is introduced before then, because obviously under the policy there would be a period of time for somebody to develop their property and then essentially apply for a refund of the excess amount of rates paid because of differential rates. So the time frame is probably the first council meeting after the election for the policy, and then it can be implemented straight away as soon as it's adopted by council.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Hamilton?
Not wishing to put pressure on you, but the policy, can it not come to the September meeting because of
caretaker period?
I haven't read the caretaker policy, sorry, through you, Madam Mayor, for a little while, but I wouldn't have thought it would be something that would invoke the caretaker policy. So if there is a meeting in September, then I don't see a reason why it couldn't be presented then.
Okay, thank you for that.
Further questions? Okay. So we have an officer recommendation for us. It requires an absolute majority. So in the absence of Councillor McWilliam, we need four people. There's not the opportunity for a casting vote from myself. So I'm looking for either a mover for the officer recommendation or an alternative. Councillor Hamilton?
I'll move the officer recommendation.
Okay. Is seconded by Councillor Wilson. Is there anybody against? Councillor Gangell, would you like to speak to your motion, Councillor Hamilton?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Clearly, we have struggled in this town with vacant properties. We have talked about activating the town, increasing the population, increasing the housing that's available in the town. A significant problem for us has been the demolition of houses that have created vacant blocks. Now, not all vacant blocks have been there for a long time, but a significant portion have. And this is something that we have struggled with as a council to try and activate these blocks. Now, we're putting forward differential rates as a form of encouragement to development. I have to thank Councillor Quinton for coming up with the concept of a concession for those owners of vacant land who, within a period of time, if they do develop their block of land, and most development applications have a 2-year period of time for their application to be valid for development. So if development takes place in that period of time through this policy that is going to be presented by Mr. White in a period of time, there will be an ability for those landowners to apply to have a rebate on those extra rates that they've paid. So that forms an additional means of encouraging development. The landowners, when they do develop their land, they will clearly have the same advantage as neighbours in the property values once they develop. Part of those property values are enhanced by the infrastructure that we as a town put in, all the drainage, which we all know how expensive that is, all the additional things that we put in, that we budget for every year, with a huge budget that we've got in front of us tonight. These are infrastructure projects, often with a lifespan of 10 to 15, 20 years sometimes. So that's money that is going into infrastructure in the town, and it benefits all the ratepayers in the end. So the contributions to that infrastructure, for those with properties that have housing on them, they are paying generally, not always, but generally they are paying a higher rate than landowners who are owning vacant land. And this provides a little bit of inequity with the contributions that go towards that infrastructure. So I would ask councillors to support this. There are multiple councils throughout the metropolitan area that have differential rating.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Gangell, question.
Thank you, Your Worship. If I could just ask perhaps Mr. White, I think would be the appropriate officer, should people not be, or should people think this is unjust, what's the mechanism for them to challenge? Is there an appeal process?
Thank you, through you, Madam Mayor. Yes, there is, any ratepayer can object to a rate notice, and to the value of general for a revaluation in relation to, which is what the GRB is based on. So it wouldn't be a matter determined by council, it would be a matter determined by the state and the valuation of the actual property.
Yep. So just to clarify, should any ratepayer not be satisfied with the 50% increase they've received, it'll be the value in general that they appeal to?
I believe so. I'd have to check the... I haven't looked at that aspect of the Act, but I believe that's right. It's not council, because once council's role is to set the rate in the dollar, that applies to the gross rental value. The gross rental value, whether it's vacant land, it's based on a percentage of the value of the land. If it's as a dwelling on it, it's based on the estimated rental that could be produced from the dwelling. So it's the gross rental value. The local government really sets the rate in the dollar to be applied to the gross rental value.
Can I just clarify, because if I heard correctly, your answer to Councillor Gangell's question would be that they would appeal to the value in general. But if they weren't questioning the valuation of their property, I think what you're saying is they're questioning the legitimacy of the differential rate. That would be another process, I imagine.
I'd have to maybe take it on notice. It's a bit difficult for councils to make a decision tonight. There may well be a procedure outlined in the Act
Through SAT or something.
For an appeal, either initially an objection perhaps to the council, followed by an appeal to SAT, but I would have to check that to be sure.
Thank you. Is that
Yes,
all
thank
questions
you.
For now?
Yep.
Okay, Councillor Wilson, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Your Worship. Only to echo the sentiments of Councillor Hamilton, and also to thank Councillor Quinton for the improvement that she made to ensure that those people in our community who make a genuine effort in good faith to develop their property are not penalised by the conditions that are in the market at the time. And I think that's a sensible and good inclusion to our addition to the scheme that we had previously attempted to get through into the town. I'd like to thank the family in attendance too for the deputation, and I hear and understand the concerns and the situation that that family faces. However, on this council, I'm forced to take into account what is best for the entire community and balance up all of the needs of our community as a whole, rather than just people's individual circumstances. And I'm satisfied that, on the whole, it is better for our community to put in place a mechanism that is going to encourage landowners to develop land. We all know that within walking distance of the town centre there is a large amount of land that has sat idle for decades, which is not being used at its best and highest purpose. That housing should be providing affordable housing options and rental options for people in our community. We all know the rental shortage that is in place at the moment, and we can do whatever we can to encourage the development of land within walking distance from train stations, as is the state government's wish for us when they have set the target to say that we need to get an extra 5,500 dwellings in our community in order to get our town planning scheme finished. And while we might be able to set town planning schemes that make things possible, the owners of that land have to develop. And if it's an investment that they have, they don't have to invest in property. There are other forms of investment that people can make. And, you know, there is always the option, if they do not wish to develop their land, to divest themselves of that investment, invest in something else, and give the land to someone who will develop it so that people can live in it and we can grow our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Ganger, did you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Look, I have to say, reading through the submissions, I think submission number two really sums it up quite nicely. Submission number two states, I feel like this is just an easy way to raise money whilst giving the impression that you're keeping the rate increase low by targeting a small percentage of ratepayers with a whopping 50% increase. Perhaps the town of Bassendean should control its spending, especially in these times of low and very low wages growth, inflation and wages growth. I wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment there. I have heard the rental crisis. I've had heard we should develop the land near train stations, but people around this table were the very ones that rejected a proposal by the state government and Land Corp that would have housed a significant number of people in our town centre and provided a number of options. It's certainly land within the town centre and potential developable land that that could have been done to assist with those in housing shortages. I also note that there's been concerns raised that people demolish the houses. Now, largely these houses, I would guess, would be in a dilapidated state. So instead, what you'll get is fences being put around these properties, with the properties still remaining upright to avoid a whopping 50% increase on a rates notice. Certainly, the concerns that I've had raised to me are properties that actually still have buildings on them. Eden Hill is a classic example at the former shopping centre site. That won't be impacted by this. I've had many concerns raised over the years with some in the main street. Well, those properties will not be impacted by this 50% increase. So I would urge councillors to be very cautious. This is a very hard infringement to put on people at this point in time. And personally, I don't think it's justifiable. I would urge all ratepayers to challenge this that are affected through the Valuer General, through SAT. It's my view and my opinion that that's the best way going forward. If you're not satisfied, absolutely execute your rights and challenge it.
Speakers for the motion? Councillor Quinton?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. This is something that we haven't arrived at very easily. I think this has been a very difficult process for all of us. The submissions that I have read
A lot of them do talk about good intent to want to build. A lot of people aren't in a position where they're saying, well, we can't afford to build, but if we could build, we would. And that is because of the market. We put in a very good concession policy and made this better. What that means is that anyone that has the intent of building within the next 2 or 4 years will be able to apply for a concession or a refund on the rates that we've charged them because they have developed their property. The reason we need to start development within this town and more broadly across the Perth metropolitan area is because we have 17,000 people on a waiting list for a house in Perth. That's just 17,000 people who have registered for a social house. That's not everybody that's in a housing crisis. We've had 50 people in the last 12 months die from homelessness. Last year, my sister was homeless with a newborn baby because she couldn't find a rental. There were 30 to 40 people rocking up to rentals. If we have people who can develop their land, then they should do that. This is a mechanism that will tell them within the next 2 years, with the greatest of intent, if you've built your property and you've developed your property, we'll give you your rates back. But you've got to build your property. You have to develop your land. You can't allow everybody to just be holding land all around the train station, all down Old Perth Road, all throughout the suburb, and cry poor when we actually have people living on the streets, 17,000 people on a waiting list for a house. We are one of the richest countries in the world, and that to me is a crime that that is happening. I fully, fully endorse this. I think the mechanism that we put in place is a very good outcome for people that have the good intent to develop their properties.
Thank you, Councillor Quinton. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Barty?
Yes, please, Your Worship. Thank you very much. And first of all, just to acknowledge the contribution of this discussion from other councillors. For me, I agree with the intent of this item, but ultimately, in consideration, I think it is the wrong lever to pull. When I came on council, I don't pretend to be an expert on everything. I think that's impossible. But what I try to do is to have a mechanism for decision making. And when we think about imposing rules, regulations, rates, things that may impinge on residents, I have to consider whether or not that mechanism will reasonably advance us to our objectives. Conversations with staff over a long period of time have led me to the view that imposing differential rates will not significantly advance us towards the objectives that we seek, which is the development of vacant land. That view marries up with the submissions that we have received from the community. The rates that would be raised through differential rates, whilst not insignificant and certainly would go towards valuable community projects, our budget is not dependent this year on those rates. This is not an impingement that we are required to impose on our residents, and I'm not satisfied that it will reasonably move us towards our objective. I think there are other mechanisms, other levers which we can pull to help us to achieve that, chiefly the Town Centre Master Plan and the fulfilment of the local planning scheme. For me, creating those conditions and inviting residents into the town to develop their land is the right way to go. And furthermore, perhaps, and I note that there will be an item considered in the budget later on this evening, around the development of this very place, of this building. And perhaps the better opportunity for us as a council is to set the example, lead by example for community members and show why Bassendean is a community worth investing in and developing in. And that is why, for me, this is not the right lever to pull and not the right motion to support. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barty. Councillor Hamilton, do you wish to close debate?
Yes, thank you. Again, thank you all councillors for your contributions. We are a council with differing views sometimes, and that's a good, healthy thing. Debate is good and healthy. Now, there are over 180 vacant properties in the town, so a much smaller number responded in writing,
And yes, I did read the submissions, and there was a common thread throughout the submissions. Councillor Wilson is correct that there are a significant number of properties that have been vacant for a very long time. We all know. We all walk past them. We all have the rangers going and asking them to cut their grass down every year and because it's a fire hazard. You know, I walk past the same half dozen properties that have been vacant since I moved to the town, which is years ago. This is a problem. We've discussed around this table in workshops the problem that this creates. Increasing population is a requirement of the state government to increase the housing density in the town and increase the population. Increasing population will activate the town. We talk about our retailers who don't have enough turnover. Well, if we increase the population by having properties developed, we are basically helping those retailers. We're helping the commercial centre of the town. All of these things go hand in hand. They're not all in isolation. And if this assists or motivates even just a small percentage of those vacant property owners to develop, then that's a good thing. We need to actually start putting in levers. We don't have all the levers that some other states have. I know that I have sent you all proposals from other states about what they do and how they encourage development and activation in not only vacant land but also vacant commercial buildings. These are things that we need. We need to have these things to actually make our town more vibrant. And so I urge councillors to support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Excuse me. Okay, councillors, so we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, Councillor Wilson, Quinton, Hamilton and McLennan, and against, Councillor Barty and Gangell. So that is carried. So moving on to item 8.2, which is the adoption of the budget. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Would you like to speak to this item, Mr. White?
Certainly, thank you, Madam Mayor. So the purpose of this report is obviously Council to consider and adopt the 2021-22 annual budget for the town. Hopefully, presentation of the budget to Council was delayed this year by the untimely departure of the town's finance manager. I do thank councillors for making themselves available for this special council meeting tonight. As is normally the case, there's been a lot of work that's gone into the budget by staff and councillors to get it to this point. And again, I thank all involved for their efforts, particularly everybody involved in the six workshops that we've had to talk about budget and budget-related matters. The town has a responsibility to spend ratepayers' funds wisely, to be scrupulous, and to balance future needs with the current needs of the community. This budget does those things. It's a fiscally responsible budget. The long-term financial sustainability of the town is paramount. It strives to balance the current and future needs of the community by strengthening reserves, setting aside funds for future projects, and investing in asset management, while continuing to provide quality services across the range of the town's core business activities. The forecast surplus at the end of the year is just over $154,000, achieved after making provision for reserve allocations to the Employee Entitlements Reserve, Community Facilities Reserve, Information Technology Reserve, and a new Natural Area Reserve at this stage. Income and expenditure items are outlined in the budget report and include $800,000 in operational projects and a capital works program of $5.7 million. So the budget is presented for council consideration and adoption.
So first of all, thank you for all your work and your team's work and everybody else's efforts to prepare this budget. I know it's a long and involved process and you've had some staff and challenges, so I really appreciate all your efforts in particular.
Thank you.
Councillors, are there any questions in general, first of all? Yes, Councillor Gangell.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm just wondering if the CEO can advise, I note we don't have the workforce plan, how many additional staffing positions will be created this financial year and what will the cost be on the town of Bassendean?
So overall, our staffing costs are $13.5 million. So essentially what we've been able to do from last year to this year is absorb a $300,000 increase based on cost pressures caused by workers' compensation, superannuation and EBA increases. Now, I did present to Council a couple of times some minor workforce adjustments. Essentially, those adjustments related to changes in hours, bringing in-house watering and reducing the costs of contractors, transitioning modes of employment, so not so much new positions. There were also two finite positions identified to support specific activities, so Sandy Beach, a finite project manager to deliver that priority project, and also a finite graduate engineer on a contract basis to collect data for drainage, which we currently don't have. But overall, I'm pleased to announce that we've been able to achieve the same workforce costs as we managed last year with all those additional cost pressures.
So my recollection, wasn't there something to do with communication position and also something to do with trees as well? I thought there were additional positions that were being created.
So with the Corporate Communications Coordinator, we did have a full-time FTE. What we've actually identified is a reduction from that full-time FTE to 0.5 of an FTE in the workforce adjustment, so a reduction in terms of costs. In terms of the street tree officer, so this is a position that we've had in our workforce plan for a couple of years, and it's one that we will need to continue given the increase in tree planting and maintenance. So essentially a change of mode of employment from a temporary contract to a permanent position. So effectively no increase in cost on that one.
Thank you.
Other questions, councillors? Councillor Quinton?
Yes. Waste charges. I can't find them now. Did we have a conversation about these?
We had a workshop in the library meeting room.
Okay.
6 weeks ago.
I must have been there.
2 months ago.
Okay. So these have been assessed a bit. The one I'm most... $100 increase for the FOGO general waste bin.
240 litre service, do you mean?
240 litres, that's what everyone gets at the moment? No, we all get 140. No.
I'll let Mr Campbell answer the question, maybe.
Remind me.
Yeah, three.
What's our normal
three
bin size?
The normal red bin size is 140 litres.
Okay, so this is, what's the 240 is which bin?
The red bin, the larger size.
So for the upgraded service.
The upgraded service.
Got it. Three bin, including FOGO. But
how many
larger.
People have got those bins now?
The upgrade or the...
The upgrade.
The upgrade bin. Is...
500 and something.
Last time I checked, 581.
Okay. Have those people come back and said that they didn't want the bin? How are we going to come... I'm assuming these people that have the larger bin have bigger families... Is $100 a year going to be something that they're going to, that is be commensurate? I mean, what is the demographic of the people that that have the 240 litre bin?
Yeah, through you, Madam Mayor. It varies based on our discussions with people. Obviously, we don't survey them specifically about their needs unless they volunteer that information to us. When they are interested in upsizing the bin, we do talk through them various options to reduce their waste volume. Red lid waste and maximise the use of their FOGO bin and their yellow bin as well as other actions like reducing their single-use plastics.
Mm.
So we do go through an educational process. There are a number of families, large families, that can't accommodate a reduction in waste just for the number of people that reside in a house. There are other people who I believe could potentially reduce their waste with some relatively moderate changes to their lifestyle or sorting practices.
Okay, thank you. So the extra charge, is that to process the waste or is it a bit of a stick to tell people to use less waste?
So how, through you, Madam Mayor, so how we came to these figures is similar to the process that we followed when we introduced FOGO and there was a larger bin option. At that time, there was discussions about how much extra waste is generated by a larger red bin. Last financial year we set that ratio at 5 to 1, so the larger bin produces 5 times as much waste as a smaller bin.
Mm.
And this budget's been prepared on that basis.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Hamilton, is it on that same bin issue? Because if not, I'll
go. Same thing. Thank you. The officer and I had a discussion about this yesterday and today, actually. So, with the $100 charge, that's about $58,000 generated in the budget. Now, this $100 charge, extra charge, applies to all those 581 people who currently have the larger red bin, correct?
That's correct.
Right, so they'll be going from 470 to 570. Now, having spoken to you today, I suggested halving that, bringing it down to a $50 increase, so they go from 470 to 520. And you indicated that that would create a budget shortfall of about 26,000, I think you said?
Approximately 29,000.
Okay. Just to let everyone know, I have said that I don't support the $100 increase. I would support up to a maximum of $50 increase on those with the 240-litre bin. Now, part of our discussion was also about how to recoup the lost revenue in the budget. And would you explain to the councillors what your suggestion was with that?
Through you, Madam Mayor, part of our discussion there was about the impact of a $50 increase and what that would look like. So the $50 increase more closely aligns to a 4-to-1 ratio in terms of waste generation. And to offset the lost revenue from that reduced charge than what's in the budget, we would need to increase the 140-litre waste bin by about $4.30.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, and this is where it becomes difficult, because we're then penalising those ratepayers who are doing the right thing and utilising the standard FOGO service with 140-litre bin by charging them extra to subsidise those who are producing the most waste. So is that a correct analysis of it?
Through you, Madam Mayor. It depends on how much they generate in the bin. But, yeah, generally that would be correct.
So my question to the officer is, if we only increase the 240-litre FOGO service $50 up to the $520 per year, and the budget has a $29,000 shortfall, I'm assuming from some of the figures I'm looking at that we can accommodate that with the surplus that is shown, the potential surplus in the budget, or can we accommodate it through the existing waste reserve? Is there a way to accommodate that $29,000 shortfall?
Did you want to comment on that?
Through you, Madam Mayor. It can be accommodated through other means. However, the purpose of the waste charge is to cover our costs for leaving the waste services for this financial year. So to fund it from another source would be, I guess, the general ratepayer funding a waste charge for certain ratepayers. The waste charge really should be set with the objective of funding the cost of delivering the waste services in this financial year without drawing the reserves and without subsidising it from another form of revenue.
Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm having some difficulty following along with the logic, so if this labours the point, please forgive me. So when we introduced FOGO, we went through an exercise where we made some assumptions, and the result of those assumptions were that somebody with a larger bin was going to pay $80 a year more than someone with a $90 a year more than somebody with a smaller bin. And people made decisions on that basis. They said, well, you know, weighing up the extra cost, the extra $90 a year, I'll get a larger bin. And then now, a year later, applying the same methodology, we're saying, oh, by the way, we have to slug you an additional $100 on top of what we slugged you last time. Is that, can someone explain the methodology there as to why that's necessary? Because if the assumptions are the same, what's changed?
Thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor. So the 5-to-1 ratio is generally just in terms of the waste produced. So it's not the full waste fee, of the full cost of the service. So that is just the landfill disposal of that material. And when we initially did the budget, the FOGO rollout budget, we had to make some assumptions around how many people would take up that service. How many people take up that service affects the difference between the charges. So when you have less amount of people having a larger bin, that increases the size of the difference between the standard charge and the upgrade charge. And that, I believe that was explained at the time when we were setting the fees and charges
So I had a conversation with you yesterday, I think, about, following on what from Councillor Wilson said, so originally the people were elected to have the larger bin on the understanding that it would cost them an additional $90. So my concern was around the change in that amount and what plans were in place to communicate with ratepayers. And the option for them to now again choose a smaller bin if they so wanted to. Would you mind explaining that to the councillors?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. So generally with the rates notices, we allow a period of time where someone can change the size of their bin and reduce their fee, and we backdate that to the beginning of the financial year. So if someone were to decide after we levy rates that they no longer required that larger bin and they wanted to go to the smaller bin, we would credit them that full amount. So they do have a period of time where they can avoid that fee. Sorry, I forgot the second part. And we do communicate that through to residents through the rate notice and the addition of Thrive that goes out with that.
Sorry, I missed that. Is that communicated through the rates notices?
And through budget the addition.
Okay.
Thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship, and thank you for that explanation. So am I right to understand then that because less people took up the larger bin option, that means that the people who did take up the larger bin option now have to pay an extra $100? Is that how that budget flows?
Through you, Madam Mayor, that's correct.
All right, any further questions on the bin charges?
No.
Okay, any other budget items?
Yes.
So there will be an opportunity as well, just later on, when we get to individual amendments, if councillors want to put the forward, we can ask questions then as well, but if you've got general questions now, feel free to ask them.
I think I'll ask a question on the bins as well again.
Thank you, Worship. Yes, just so there was discussion then about the option to change the bin configuration around. So the option that's being proposed here to move to a larger, the 360-litre, if I'm correct, recycling bin, what is the cost of that? And if somebody moved from, say, a bigger general waste bin to a smaller general waste bin, but then chose instead to go to a bigger 360-litre recycling bin, what would be the price differential there in total?
He needs his calculator.
Yeah. thank you, through you, Madam Mayor. So the cost of going from a 140 litre to a 240 litre upgrade is $570 a year. And if you reduce that down to a smaller bin, that would only be $395 on the proposed budget. The 360 litre bin is included in the draft budget at $150 as a once-off cost. So I guess if it was just in terms of the annual saving in the first year, just bear with me.
No, you're doing well.
So between the two, the larger upgrade size and the smaller bin, they would save themselves $175. And then if they took up that 360 litre, it would cost $150. So the net saving would be $25.
And then in subsequent years, they would have that ongoing cost for the extra recycling capacity.
Correct.
Awesome. OK, another bin question, Councillor Hamilton?
No.
No? OK. Any other questions at the moment?
Yes. Okay. It relates to one of the spreadsheets where we've got project management of the living stream. Am I allowed to actually say how much that is because it's in the project spreadsheets are confidential? Okay, I'll just talk about it generally. Okay, sorry. Sorry, I was just going to mention the amount. Okay, the project management. When we discussed this previously, that was, forgive me if I've got it wrong, but I was under the understanding that if we were going to do the entire project, stage one and two, for $350,000, it was put to me that we would need to have a project manager because we didn't have enough in-house services or skill or whatever you'd like to call it, workforce, to be able to accommodate that. However, I note that the project management is included in the spreadsheets. However, the living stream remains at stage one, and so I would like to actually understand why that is, because the project management is a significant percentage of the stage one expenditure total.
That's correct. Through Madam Mayor. This is a project that sits within the sustainability and environment portfolio, and as you know, we recently lost our executive manager for that area, so the work has actually come to a halt. Living stream projects are complex, particularly this one, high risk. It's a project that would preferably occur during the summer months, so there's a window where the project needs to occur. In discussing it with the former Executive Manager of Sustainability and Environment as part of, I guess, his exit, I discussed the portfolio of projects that sat under him, and it was clear that it was a very ambitious work program. Now, we've been without an Executive Manager for about a month now, and the chances are by the time the new executive manager comes on board, it will probably be at least another 5 or 6 weeks. So we're losing about a quarter of the year. Now, that person's going to have to come up to speed. We've also got other projects sitting under that area as well, including Point Reserve. Now, they're both quite complex projects, high risk. They'll be happening simultaneously. The expectation of somebody new coming into the town of Bassendean, so the acclimatising with the local government, but also getting to know their team and skills within the town. The Living Stream project was largely going to be delivered by town staff through the oversight of the executive manager. To me, this is a big ask of somebody new coming in and coming in quite late in the year. So it was always intended that the project be broken down over 2 years so it could be managed in two stages. It's quite a unique skill set. It's not one that we could readily bring someone in to project manage. So, and there are some skills shortages at the moment. So it's very difficult to get somebody with that unique skill set with experience in delivering a project similar to this. So that's why it was identified in conjunction with the former executive manager that this was the best possible way of succeeding and delivering stage one of the living stream.
Okay. I think my question is more about the cost of the project manager in comparison to stage one. It's a significantly high cost when you compare the pricing of stage one, especially when the same value for project manager is being used for Sandy Beach Playground, which is
a project valued at 6 or 7 times what stage one of the living stream is. So it's the value of that project manager in comparison to stage one of the living stream that I question. And so I don't actually understand. If it was for the entire project, I might understand that, but it's not. It's only for stage one, and that's why I'm questioning it. So can...
It's a forecast at best, and it was a sum that I came up with in conjunction with the former executive manager. It could come under that, but those discussions haven't yet occurred. We're not that far down in terms of procuring this particular service to know exactly what that would look like.
So can I ask, when you employ someone in this role, is that person tied to that project, or can that person use those project skills in other areas of environment? If like, for instance, if the project is running behind, like we did with one of the projects, Sandy Beach, can that project manager be diverted to other projects? That's my question.
The idea is bringing somebody in with expertise in living streams,
yep,
that is very focused on delivering an outcome.
Okay.
And I guess it's a different relationship when bringing in a contractor and you expect an outcome versus employing, for example, a staff member who might be across several different projects. So it's a much more focused piece of work. There's clear milestones. You get a, whether it's a rate per hour or a fixed term contract based upon the deliverable. So it's a different arrangement.
Okay, other questions? Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Worship. Just in relation to page 11 of the agenda, on the second last paragraph, the third sentence in the second last paragraph says that the town will work towards developing a Noongar Heritage Agreement. That's capitalised, which makes me think that it is in relation to a definition of a document. It's my understanding that the South West Aboriginal Land and Sea Council and WELGA have already come to terms and developed a Noongar Standard Heritage Agreement that has been signed off by all parties. What work remains to be done?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Again, this was a project that sat under our former Executive Manager, Sustainability and Environment. The idea is to develop as a starting point, a one-pager. I think it's also referred to as a cultural compact statement. A one-pager really on the guiding principles in terms of how that relationship works. And that would be the starting point for building a stronger relationship. I think City of Perth have just developed one in the recently, in the last month or so. So that's the idea.
Okay, Your Worship, with your indulgence, a follow-up question. So if the Noongar Standard Heritage Agreement has already been negotiated between WELGA and SWALSC, and all that remains to be done is to insert Town of Bassendean at the relevant parts of the document, and if the officer who was driving that body of work we were not able to retain as a staff member in the town, and is no longer here, then what work remains to be done with the proposed amount of money that has been requested as a part of this budget process?
So I think the idea was to come up with some guiding principles in terms of what that relationship would look like, and the idea being to come up with an agreement to ensure that we actually had a shared understanding in terms of how we would engage with Noongar elders. Particularly in terms of our forward work program. So rather than, at the moment, I think there's been some discussion on specific projects that might have, cultural interest. The idea being that once we've developed that shared understanding, that we could actually flag a forward program and have some discussions around each of those specific projects in a more sort of proactive sense.
Okay. But again, I ask, if that work has already been done and the document exists, and all that remains to be done is to insert Town of Bassendean in the relevant sections, then is not that work complete? Is not then the work that the town staff does business as usual? Isn't not a case that the way that the town operates would change culturally and that doesn't actually require additional money? Yeah, am I missing something?
Apologies, Councillor Gangell. My understanding my understanding was it was somewhat different. It wasn't that broad, encompassing statewide agreement for all local governments, but it was one that was more focused on our district and the cultural interests within our district. So it might appear somewhat different to other local governments, and it might consider, you know, particularly those elders that have a specific connection to the land here, and that we would forge a unique, I guess, shared understanding with those particular elders. That was my understanding, and my understanding was that our former executive manager had conversations with both yourself and the mayor to discuss that approach.
Other questions?
Yes. There is an amount of money that has been requested that relates to minutes and agendas. My understanding is that minutes and agendas is business as usual. Your Worship, either yourself or staff, outline what would be different or what, in addition to business as usual, is being asked for in relation to minutes and agendas?
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. At the moment, the town has very little IT to help support minutes and agendas. It is a very labour-intensive process, and we are challenged every month with version control issues, distribution. I know certainly the product we provide councillors isn't as good as what it could be. Looking at other local governments, most of them have purchased an off-the-shelf product, which we're actually recommending. So the idea is that we would develop our functional specifications and then go to market to try and procure a suitable product. And then assess what range of options are available and look at appointing a suitable provider. Thank you.
Just to follow up to that, so if it's to purchase software to improve efficiencies and provide better service to councillors, the Eastern Metropolitan Regional Council recently went through that exercise. Without going into any of the figures, there are a range of products in the market. The MRC went with the most expensive product in the market, which is an industry standard and is used by over 500 of the top industry 1,000 companies around the world, and it was half the amount of money for 12 councillors than what has been asked for in the budget here, and as such I foreshadow that I will be seeking to reduce the amount that's been requested.
Councillor
Hamilton? This is a question, it's not on the budget, but it may relate to something. I did send an email about this. The Green Trail was having interpretation, signage, artwork, whatever you'd like to call it, and the project was well underway between two of the officers for previous financial year. But I don't believe it's been installed. And I don't see it in the budget documents, so I just have no idea where we're at with that. It was funding was not going to, it was coming out of the developer's contribution, so it's not really a reserve or anything, so I'm not even sure if something like that is meant to be in the budget. So would someone maybe give me a hint on where we are with that one?
Through Madam Mayor, that project is about 3 or 4 weeks away from completion. And there is only one invoice left to pay, and it's being funded out of the public health reserve.
That's music to my ears.
Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. I looked through the agenda document and I couldn't see any mention about a proposed office relocation, but there is a significant amount of money that is being requested for office relocation.
So it's referred to on page 22?
22, thank you.
And page 11. Top of page 22. And page 11.
Could staff please outline whether there are any plans that have been done and whether those plans are yet costed?
Thank you, through you, Madam Mayor. So, the administration sort of came up with the concept some time ago, and did enough work to ascertain whether it might be feasible, theoretically at least feasible, from a building occupancy perspective, layout perspective, those sorts of things. So. The administration certainly didn't want to spend any money on the project until such time as council was supportive of the overall project. So those costs were kept to a minimum amount of operational expenditure and consisted of consulting with an independent building certifier, given we cannot use our own building certifier, to determine occupancy levels, required spacing, balance of males, females, pollution requirements, those sorts of things, to determine what sort of staff levels we could actually get in the building. And we did some work internally to map out our staff, look at part-time arrangements, days of work, mix of sensors, those sorts of things, and determined that it is actually a possibility. And that's where we've got to. We've also had some accurate measurements done in the building, and then we thought we would bring it to council to seek a budget to take the project further.
So, Councillor Wilson, just on that, I've had some conversations with Mr. White. He's provided some wordings to make an amendment to that item if council so wishes, to separate out funds for a plan to be developed and costed and then brought back to council, but also the potential for the remaining funds for the implementation to be put aside into a reserve so that if council chooses to proceed with that, with the funds that they implemented this financial year.
Okay. Thank you, Your Worship. I appreciate the update. Just further to that, I noticed that there were two separate line items that related to office relocation, one for a lesser amount, one for a smaller amount. Did the lesser amount cover the work necessary to work up those plans and to do the costings, or were they broken up for different purposes?
Through you, Madam Mayor, one was an estimated budget for capital expenditure, which is the smaller amount, and the larger amount was an estimated budget for operational expenditure. We're anticipating significant expenses in terms of contractors for electrical matters and those types of things which would come out in operational budgets.
Building works and live for that works.
Yeah.
Any other questions, councillors? Okay, so
Last question. Carryover funds. So, how much carryover funding do we have from projects that we have already levied rates from our neighbours for, but not expended within the time period that we thought we would?
Through you, Madam Mayor. So, the carryover spreadsheet. There are some carryover projects, most significantly Sandy Beach, and just that project has commenced, but it has been completed in the financial year, so we're looking to carry over those funds, which at this point is the bulk of the project funds. I think we might have paid one invoice, fairly large one, the sewage. There's also the Success Hill Steel Lane design construction. There's a small amount from Wickfield State Banking. And another one for Success Hill Gym. And there's a dual budget question for Success Hill Gym, being portion of that's been carryover funds from this year, and an increase in the budget for next year to provide sufficient funds, we think, for the entire project. And there's a few smaller projects listed there in relation to Lids Pavery, there in Crescent. Just those projects are almost complete, but just carry out the balance of those funds into the current financial year.
Okay, Councillor Hamilton.
As you're aware, Madam Mayor, I've sent through a list of, and I'm not sure how.
Yeah, so that's what I was about to address. Okay. So what I propose that we'll do now is we've got an officer recommendation for the budget, acknowledging that there's likely to be some amendments that councillors would like to put forward for that recommendation. What I would propose we do is that we have somebody move and second the officer recommendation, so we've got a substantive motion underway, and then any amendments that councillors may wish to consider we can deal with individually. I would suggest that firstly we deal with point two, which relates to the rating of dollar, so that we have that locked away first, and then we can have a good idea about how much money we have and how changes to various inclusions may affect that. Councillor Wilson? To move the officer recommendation, you say? Yes? Is there a seconder for the officer?
I'm happy to second it. Subject and then we go into amendments.
Okay. All right. So Councillor Wilson has moved and Councillor Hamilton seconded. Okay. Let's have a look at item two then. So I know that there's been some conversation today. In the officer recommendation, we currently have a proposal for a 2% increase to the rate in the dollar, which would deliver an 8.4895 rate in the dollar, general rate in the dollar. Excuse me, I'm going to have some time at the table. And then councillors may have received an email earlier today with an alternative if council did want to consider instead a 1.5% increase that would result in an 8.4478 general rate in the dollar.
Is that correct?
Yes. Is there anything you'd wish to speak to about the council would like to consider those two alternatives, what we might need to think about?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just very briefly, I guess in terms of the overall dollar effect. So, just in round figures to keep it simple, every 1% for us, our rates base is about $13.5 million. So every 1% is about $135,000 in rates revenue. So, reducing the rate of the dollar, or the proposed increase in the rate of the dollar from 2% to 1.5. If we think $70,000 in reduced revenue, we'll cover that. And as far as differential rates are concerned in their entirety, the proposal for the 50% premium on vacant land equates to about $90,000 in revenue.
Thank you very much. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. So, just so I understand the approach that's been taken here, are you asking us to vote now on a rate in the dollar that would lock in a percentage and that we would have to make the expenditure match up to that percentage? Or?
I think it
would
be easier for the staff, wouldn't it, if we had a rate in the dollar? Then that's the question.
Yes, thank you. Three, Madam Mayor. So the percentage increase in the general rate in the dollar is required, I guess, really in the first instance, so that we can then determine what the rate in the dollar would be for the improved land, as we call it. And then we would apply the 50% premium to that rate in the dollar to determine the rate in the dollar for the vacant land. And if that was, for example, to be based on 1.5%, then the rates in the dollar would be as read out by the mayor before, and that would reduce our rates income by around $70,000. We currently have a surplus in our rate setting statement, so we could accommodate that reduction without further amendment. The surplus would simply reduce from $154,000 down by $70,000.
Right. Okay. Yes. Thank you. I'll follow up.
Thank you.
Okay. So the only reason I brought that to people's attention was because Councillor Hamilton had foreshadowed that she was intending to move an amendment to their rate in the dollar. I'm not sure whether you still intend to do so or not.
Yes, I would like to move that it's 1.5%, not 2%.
Okay, so Councillor Hamilton's moving an amendment to point 2 of the Officer Recommendation to change the rate in the general rate of the dollar for improved land to 8.4478.
Could you read that again?
8.4478, which represents a 1.5% increase.
Okay, and so this is where I've, sorry, Your Worship, with your indulgence, have the question that if we were to say it's a 1.5% increase, then that locks us to something that's approximately $75,000 less expenditure, plus or minus some wriggle room on the surplus. But if we were to find additional savings beyond that, then we wouldn't be able to because we've already locked in the rates increase. Is that the consequence of making that decision now? And if so, are we able to come back to this item once we've considered any of the other amendments and we know what the savings might be?
I think if through the workshop processes, Council has discussed these particular options, I imagine for us to consider something different at the stage would make quite a significant impact on the budget that you've prepared. Would that be correct?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it probably depends on what changes Council is considering about, I presume in relation to some of the operational and or capital projects. If they're funded through grant funding or reserve funding, then it won't make a difference to the surplus. If they're currently funded or proposed to be funded through municipal funds, then it will. It is open to Council to proceed through those changes and consider differential rates afterwards if it chooses to do so. The order can be done either way. But either way, I suppose what I would like to be able to do is just pause once those discussions have been had and just make sure that we have actually still remained in a surplus position overall.
So if that's the case, Your Worship, can I request that we defer consideration of that point until such time as we know what the quantum of savings are or additional expenses are, such that we can allow staff the time to make a calculation?
I'm not sure we can expect the staff to make complicated calculations tonight that are going to reflect significant changes. Would that be unreasonable for us to expect that this evening in the meeting?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think again, it probably depends on the nature and the extent of change. I think we can certainly accommodate some changes and accommodate those in sort of round terms without actually being specific to the dollar amount. I mean, in actual fact, it is the preferable way to go because the rate setting statement is to provide for an amount of rates to cover the projected deficit to be funded by rates.
But in terms of Council's expectations, if we address various amendments to projects that we have identified, maybe I'll provide sort of round figure, but
yes,
not the specific ones evening.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm happy for us to go back to point one if Councils would prefer to address individual items first.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so point one is the budget. So at the moment, it's asking Council to adopt the budget. We have a number of points there, A to H. What we could do is that we are moving, we could move the budget subject to the following amendments. And if people would like to propose any amendments now, that would be helpful.
Sorry, let me just find.
Sorry, just question procedurally. We've already moved something and seconded it.
What
happens
now?
We
haven't voted on it yet.
It's all right, we can come back to it later.
Okay.
If the changes are accepted, then we'll move it.
So we're on page 27 now, going annual budget A to H.
Yep. So what I suggest is that when we adopt, so it's already, the budget's already been moved by Councillor Wilson and yourself. So when we come back to the substantive motion, it would be point one, as written, subject to the following amendments. So whatever amendments are proposed and carried now.
So I've got a list of amendments which are relatively easy. shall we start with them, or
let's do them individually, Councillor Hamilton.
Okay. So the capital budget, again, this has changed since I set this out. So the spreadsheet for land acquisition, apparently that figure needs to be amended down to 100,000. Could I confirm that with the officer?
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes, that's correct. These since these figures were prepared some months ago, valuations have been obtained and that figure can be amended.
But can I just clarify, that's really a correction rather than something the council needs to make a decision about?
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes, it's been the figures have been changed to reflect the best and latest information.
So can I note that that correction is going to go into the budget document? Is that right?
Just on the point of order, the officer's recommendation has been presented, so if it needs to change, it needs to be done by way of amendment.
Yes, but all I'm saying is it's not a matter for council to debate. It's a correction that we can note as part of the resolution.
Okay, so that is going to be amended down to $100,000, correct?
Yes.
If all the councillors vote for it.
That's correct.
Right, okay. So I'm moving there.
Okay, seconded. Is there anybody against? Okay, so that is carried. So that's the first amendment. So just the correction to the land acquisition on the capital budget.
Sorry, who seconded that?
Me.
Oh, thank you. I didn't look up.
That's all right. My apologies. Okay, Councillor Hamilton?
Question though, because Councillor Hamilton,
I have
a
million. It's
thank
been
you.
Changed since.
Oh my God, that was so confusing.
It was changed in the kitchen.
Okay, councillors,
carry on.
Do you have another amendment?
Okay, provision of FOGO bins. That's a typo error. There, it's supposed to be 6,720. The entry is 40,000, so that's a correction as well.
Okay, so you're leaving the correction. I'm happy to second it. Is there anybody against? That is carried. If you are losing anything, just feel free to yell out.
Purchase, this is on the operational budget, purchase of renewable energy and carbon credits. The actual total of that came to just under 40,000. 43,000 allows for a buffer, so I'm proposing that that be amended down from 53,000 down to 43,000.
I'm happy to second that. Is there anybody against? That is carried. Ms. Hines, you okay? Yep.
I'm proposing removal of the market community survey, which is 23,000. And I'm it should be deferred for consideration in the 2022-23 budget. That's what I actually meant.
Okay, so Councillor Hamilton's moved to remove that item from this budget with the intention of being included in the next financial year's budget. Is there a seconder? Councillor Wilson? I'm against. I don't necessarily feel the need to debate. Do you want to debate, Councillor Hamilton?
Don't need
okay,
to debate.
So we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour of removing it from the budget, Councillor Wilson, Hamilton and Gangell. Four is Councillor Quinton, I assume, Barty and McLennan. So that is lost because it did not achieve an absolute majority. Okay. Any further, Councillor Hamilton?
The waste charges. I'm for the FOGO general waste bin 240 litre option. I'm proposing that the increase is reduced from $100 down to $50 per annum, so it goes from the current figure of 470 up to 520 per annum.
Sorry, can you please repeat that?
So, do you, Mr.
Sorry, can
you... No,
please do.
Just
please do.
Could, have this adjustment under Officer Recommendation 3, fees and charges.
Yep. Perfect.
Process
Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
Can
Got
you
it.
Mind you letting
one?
Sir.
Any others, Councillor
Hamilton? So, do you want me to repeat that one?
No, let's just deal with the capital and operational items at the moment.
Okay. I'll let someone else have a go at the capital and operational next for a minute. Okay, so I get myself in order.
I'm happy to move the amendment that I spoke to earlier about the office relocation. So to remove from the capital budget and allocate $30,000 from the operational project budget for preparation of a detailed project plan, including project costs, for consideration by council, and allocate $220,000 from the operational project budget to the future projects reserve to provide funds for the project should council endorse the project plan. I will send you the wording later if you're happy with that. Would councils like me to repeat that?
Yes, please.
Okay, so but it speaks to the discussion earlier about the plans for the office relocation, and instead of allocating all the money at once, separating it out into a project plan and then the option for implementation afterwards. So the wording would be to remove from the capital budget the office relocation and allocate $30,000 from the operational project budget for preparation of a detailed project plan, including project costs for consideration by council, and allocate $220,000 from the operational project budget to the future projects reserve to provide funds for the project should council endorse the project plan. So it doesn't change the finances, it just separates it out. Councillor Wilson?
Just a question on that, Your Worship. So would that mean that before any of the additional funds could be spent, there would need to be a council resolution endorsing that?
It would come back to council, would it not?
Yeah, I'm happy to second on that basis.
Okay, so I've moved that. Councillor Wilson has seconded. Is there anybody against? That is carried unanimously. Any other amendments councils would like to propose? Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. In relation to minutes and agendas, I'm fully supportive of the idea that we would move to a more efficient and online system. My recent experience with the Diligent Boards product, for example, has been very beneficial, and I highly recommend it to anyone. I do know from recent experience, though, that the amount of money that is being asked for is 100% over and above what is required to deliver that, and think it prudent that we reduce the amount for that line item by $10,000.
So, just to remind me, what do we currently have in the budget for that?
Sorry, just to take you to
which
the page.
Which one is it? It's operational.
Minutes and agendas, I'm just suggesting a $10,000 reduction, which would leave a significant buffer over and above what would be required to adopt that product that could be used for training.
And are the staff comfortable with that amendment?
I guess until we go to market, it's hard to know what products would best suit our purposes. I guess this gives us some flexibility. If we obviously don't need the full amount, that would obviously be returned. So that's the only concern. There may be some customisation that's required, and just assessing value for money.
Councillor Wilson?
Sorry, just on that, when the CEO says that the money would be returned, where would it be returned to exactly?
Well, it would be a surplus in regards to that particular item.
Mid-year review.
Okay, so hold on a second. Is that a question on this
question?
Item?
Yep. The basis of what Councillor Wilson is suggesting is reducing it from 30,000 down to 20,000. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So if, for instance, you went to market and came in at 22,000, would that not just come back to Council for authorisation, the extra 2,000?
In terms of the events.
It's a very interesting.
Councillor Wilson, can you please?
So three members, there's a variance reporting threshold of 5%. So it would be over 5%, so we would need to bring that back to council.
Thank you. Okay, so Councillor Wilson has moved to reduce that item from down $10,000. Is there a seconder? Councillor Hamilton has seconded. Should we put it to the vote? All those in favour? Councillor Wilson, Barty, you're not McLennan, you're Hamilton, Gangell, and against. Councillor Quinton, are you voting? Councillor Quinton and Councillor McLennan, so that is carried. Councillor Wilson, did you have another amendment?
I do, thank you, Your Worship. It relates to operational projects and consultancies budget, Noongar Heritage Agreement. cultural compact agreement and workshops. Councillors will know that I'm fully supportive of the concept of what's being proposed here. However, it is the case that the South West Aboriginal Land and Sea Council and Walga have already finalised work on the Noongar Standard Heritage Agreement. All that is required to be done is to have the town of Bassendean's name inserted into that. The second leg of that work is that the body with which that engagement needs to be done would be the Whadjuk Regional Corporation. That's not going to come into existence until June 30 at the earliest, probably next year. So what I suggest is that this item be deferred on the basis that the agreement itself can be entered into and the body of work and the engagement with the Noongar community that will properly be done with the Whadjuk Regional Corporation cannot be done until next financial year. And for that reason, I recommend a deferment.
Thank you. Any questions on that? Any comments from staff?
What's that line item called?
It is the Noongar Heritage Agreement / Cultural Compact Agreement and Workshop. And in conversations with the previous executive manager of sustainability environment, there was a delay that he had identified as well because of the need to await for the regional corporation to be established. Councillors, do you have something to say?
Sorry, I don't think Councillor Gandrill caught the last bit of...
So the proposal is to remove this budget item and defer it to the next financial year when the regional corporation will be established and we can conduct the workshops.
And just how much money is that we're removing from the budget?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Are you speaking to it or...?
No.
Okay, so Councillor Gandrill has moved to not defer that item. Sorry. Our CEO has started something. Councillor Wilson has moved to defer that item to the following financial year. Is there a seconder?
I can't decide which one.
Councillor Quinton has seconded. Is there anybody against? That is carried unanimously. Any other amendments?
Just give me a minute, please.
Yeah, just a question first before I consider whether an amendment's necessary. The proposed capital budget, the matter in relation to the Caledonian Soccer Club replacement veranda, is there any co-contribution that's been identified or any requirement to get a CSIRF grant for that work?
Sorry, yes. Thanks, Madam Mayor. Look, the veranda is in significant disrepair. It would probably take close to 12 months to get a CSRF grant. It would be best if we did address the issue within
Councilor
the budget.
Wilson, you might remember as well, this is the one where originally there was funding that was coming from, I believe, Dave Kelly, and then that funding was redirected within the club and left the veranda still replying. Replacement?
That's correct. Yeah.
Did they call that an own goal or something?
Okay, any other items, councillors?
Can I ask a question about one before I decide to move something? With the project management of the Living Stream, can I ask the administration if that was reduced down to 40,000 given it's only stage one, do you perceive any significant problems with that?
I could not comment at this stage. It's too early.
So the 50,000 is a guesstimate, is it?
That's correct.
Again, if it was reduced to 40,000...
Councillor Martin, our CEO said she can't give you a definitive answer on this.
I was trying to figure out how it would be advertised. Would it be advertised as a set figure or would it be advertised as a scope of works for them to perform?
Certainly. This particular example, because it is a unique skill set, it could be our sole supplier.
Okay, I'll leave it.
Any other items, councillors? Okay, so then if there's no other items on the capital operational spreadsheets, there was the fees and charges for the Flogo bids that was...
Sorry, fees and charges.
Pardon? Okay. So again, at the moment, point three says fees and charges pursuant to section 6.1, blah, blah, blah. When it comes back to the substantive motion, if there's any amendments that are carried, we'll just add on to the end of that, subject to the following amendments. And what is it that you wish to propose, Councillor Hamilton?
So this is the waste charge, FOGO general waste bin 240 litre option. The budget proposes to increase the current fee of $4.70 up to $5.70, and I'm proposing to amend that increase to a $50 increase, so the current fee increases from $4.70 up to $5.20 per annum.
Okay. Seconded by Councillor Wilson. Amy, have you got all of this?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody against? Okay, so that is carried unanimously. Any other
amendments? May I ask a question before I move this next one?
Yes.
The residential garage food business surveillance was, if I've got this right, it was being charged at $170. And it's proposed to come down to $50. Now, my understanding is that you propose that to provide relief for home businesses. Is that correct?
Mr. Gibson, yes, that's right.
Through Madam Mayor, yes, that's correct. Well, 107 is proposed to be 50, simply in response to the desire to support small business in the town. The town is part of the Small Business Friendly Local Government program, and this was one of the measures we identified as showing support for those small businesses, but it is open for council to charge the $107.
So where did that lower figure come from, like right down to $50? Where did that come from? Was that within the town, or it's recommended from somewhere else?
Through Madam Mayor, that's a figure devised by staff. It is somewhat arbitrary. The cost recovery is the $107, but as an effort to, again, show support for small businesses, which the town has committed to via that program that I mentioned, the figure of $50 was chosen, but like I say, it was somewhat arbitrary.
So I originally...
So, Councillor Hamilton, are you planning on moving...
Yes, I'm planning on moving to reduce 107... It's reduce 107 down to 75. Cutting down the middle.
Okay, is there a second for Councillor Hamilton's motion? Is there anybody against? Okay, so it's Councillor Wilson, Quinton, Barty and Hamilton for, Councillor Gangell and McLennan against. That is carried. Anything further? Okay. So, Councillor Hamilton, you had flagged something about the reserves that you wanted to change, or are you planning on leaving
that? Is that item? I thought that was another...
No, it is another item, but it's the only thing left.
Okay. So, on page 30 of the agenda, it lists the reserves, and I suggested just 5D, the wording is creation of a natural area reserve to provide for the future restoration of natural area reserves, and I've added at Point Reserve and Bindaring Park. And then also,
so five, can I just clarify your, because I know at one stage you were proposing to separate that out into two.
No, I'm happy for them to stay in one reserve, but I think that so long as we specify Point Reserve in Bindaring,
okay,
I'm happy for them to be in the one reserve.
Okay, I'm happy to second that. Is there anybody against? Councillor Gangell's against. So that is carried.
5H is related to that in that it states a change in use of part of the funds in the waste asset reserve, $250,000 for the natural area reserve. That's the officer's recommendation. And I've tacked onto that Point Reserve and Bindaring Park. So it's again clarifying that that reserve is for those two items.
Okay, is there a seconder? Councillor Wilson seconded. Okay, we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Councillor Wilson, Quinton and Hamilton. And against is Councillor Barty, Gangell and McLennan. That is lost.
Now, I'm also proposing the addition of another item to 5, which would be 5K if it's a newly created item. Creation of a Jubilee Reserve to accrue funds for major expenditure in the provision of community facilities at Jubilee Reserve. I've also got 5L, which is...
Just before you continue, so you're wanting to create a reserve specifically for Jubilee Reserve. Are you proposing any funds go into that reserve?
I am. That's the second point, 5L.
Would that be the best way to approach? Maybe read out what you're saying. We can get some feedback from the staff.
So 5L, I've got provision of an amount of $50,000 derived from the anticipated surplus of this budget be allocated to the newly created Jubilee Reserve.
Can you please repeat that?
Sorry, I missed that.
Can you please repeat that?
It's actually, I've got a copy.
Okay.
A provision of an amount of $50,000 derived from the anticipated surplus of this budget be allocated to the newly created Jubilee Reserve.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any feedback from staff on that proposal?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Now, I think there was $43,000 of funds freed up from a couple of changes that we made earlier, so there's a slight shortfall here that can be accommodated from the current surplus, so that the funding is fine. I would just suggest, however, it's actually a Jubilee Reserve.
Yes, I know.
It's a beautiful language we have.
So the word is going to put a red line under that every time we write it, but that's what it is.
Do you have reservations about that?
Comfortable with the Reserve.
Let's call it Jubilee RR.
So I would suggest we probably don't need to specify from surplus funds. We can probably say that our provision of the amount of $50,000
excellent
allocated to the Jubilee Reserve.
Okay. So Councillor Hamilton has moved. Is there a seconder? Councillor Wilson. Is there anybody against? That is carried. How are you going over there, Ms. Holmes?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Wilson?
At this point, Your Worship, would it assist staff if we perhaps had a 10-minute recess so that they could confer on figures and minutes and then we could have an informed discussion about setting the amount for the rate in the dollar?
3 minutes, I think that would be useful.
Oh, excellent. Very good. All right, so we'll look
very good.
Meeting for 10 minutes.
I did well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so we're looking now at point two, which is the rate in the dollar. So currently the Office recommendation is for a 2% increase in the rate in the dollar, 8.4895. Does anyone wish to propose an amendment to that? Councillor Hamilton, you first.
I propose a 1.4% increase.
So do we know what the rate in the dollar would be in that?
I was going to ask the officer that.
So you're not happy with the 1.5% increase that's already been calculated?
Yeah. Yeah.
I second that.
Six five five nine.
12.9839.
That's more than 2%.
No, that's for the differential. So the base rate, 8.6559.
Which is more than 2%.
No, sorry, that's not correct. Sorry,
yeah. Actually, you're right.
Yeah, I know.
Of course you are.
Okay, just hold on a moment. So Councillor Hamilton has moved that the rates be changed to reflect a 1.4% increase. Councillor Wilson has seconded that.
We're not voting on the budget overall yet, are we?
No. Is there anybody against? Okay, so that you're against?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll put that to the vote. Councillors for, Councillor Wilson, Quinton, Barty, Hamilton and McLennan, and against is Councillor Gangell. Okay, so now if there's no other amendments, we'll go back to the substantive motion for the budget, which was moved by Councillor Wilson and seconded by Councillor Hamilton. Is there anybody against? Councillor Wilson, do you wish to debate?
I do. Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to start by thanking staff for the many hours of hard work that have gone into preparing this budget and for their effective engagement with Council to try and understand what it is that Council's priorities might be in framing the proposed budget for our consideration. So for all of that work and effort that's been put into it, thank you. There are some highlights to this budget that I think bear focusing on, or at least in my personal opinion. The adoption of 100% renewable energy consumption for our town I think is a great achievement, one that we should all be proud of. The provision of a larger 360-litre recycling bin for our community for a one-off fee of $150, I think is a great innovation. That we will be planting an additional 1,000 trees for the third consecutive year, I think is a great investment in the amenity in our town. It will go a long way in providing greenery and reducing the urban heat island effect for generations to come, and that we've been able to achieve that with a modest 1.4% rate increase for residents of our town, I think shows just how effective the financial management has been. As is always the case, there is not everything in this budget that I agree with, and there are some things that I'm prevented by way of previous resolutions from discussing publicly and openly in the public record, but needless to say, on totality, I'm happy to move and endorse this budget and recommend it to Council.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Hamilton?
Yes, very short. I echo Councillor Wilson's comments and thank the staff 100%. For your efforts. This has truly been a collaborative budget between councillors, administration, and for that I am really grateful. In collaborating, we have achieved some things that we may not have achieved if we had been pulling in very opposite directions. So for that I am really, really grateful. I'm grateful for my fellow councillor, Quinton,
for her contributions to make some of the processes more equitable, and all my fellow councillors for their contributions, even those with whom we occasionally have differences of opinions. You add to the debate, and that is excellent. I do think this is a good budget. I think overall, as Councillor Wilson has said, not everything is to my liking, but by and large, the bulk of this budget is an excellent budget. It delivers many things that our community prioritised, and for that I am very grateful. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Gann, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Your Worship. I don't speak against the budget lightly. Obviously, I've already said a number of things on differential rights. Just briefly with that, I think this penalises the people that most cannot afford it, that have legitimately subdivided their blocks, potentially, to sell the land at
Councillor
a future point in time.
Councillor Gann, are you speaking against a previous council resolution?
I'm speaking about the difference.
No, it was item 8.1.
Okay, well, Your Worship, can I just seek clarification and start my debate again from you?
Yes.
Yeah. So just what can I say, what will you permit me to say? Can I talk about how much we're putting the differential rate up by? Is that permitted under your guidance?
You can say what the differential rate is.
So if I say what the differential rate is, then I can't then go on to say that how that would impact. I'm just seeking your guidance, what you will approve, because I know you like to shut down if you don't see eye to eye.
Councillor Gann, that is also inappropriate. I'm just reminding of your obligations to not speak against a council resolution.
Well, we're in debate. The differential rating is part of the debate. Well, I'm seeking your guidance, Your Worship, what you will allow in this town and what you will not allow in this town.
Excuse me, Councillor Gann, item 8.1.
Clearly, broad debate is not allowed.
Councillor Gann, that's not appropriate. I'm reminding of your obligations to not speak against a previous council resolution at 8.1 this evening. Would you like to continue your debate?
Well, I certainly would like to continue my debate. Thank you very much. No doubt you'll shut me down again because you don't agree with me.
Councillor Gangell, I'm going to ask you to sit down in a minute if you don't stop.
Oh, I suppose there. Okay.
Councillor Gangell, it's enough. I'm not going to let you continue to speak. Sit down. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Wilson, would you like your right of reply?
Thank you, Your Worship. I would like my right of reply. And in doing so, acknowledge Councillor Gangell's sincere and consistent advocacy for a point of view with which he holds.
Not like that.
Needless to say, it's heard and understood and respected in this group. As I said before, there are parts to this budget that I disagree with passionately, vehemently, and to the very core of my being and everything that I hold true to my values, Councillor Gangell. I understand the feelings that you will be having on that. However, on balance, this is a good budget that I recommend to Council.
Thank you,
Councillors.
Okay, we'll put that back as carried, and that brings us to the end of the meeting, so we'll close at 8:09 p.m.